it's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning shows,
and a way to start your day.
It is Friday, the 27th of March. Let's begin with a prayer written by Pope Francis for protection against the spread of COVID-19. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O Mary, you shine continuously on our journey as a sign of salvation and hope. We entrust ourselves to you, health of the sick. At the foot of the cross, you participated in Jesus' pain with steadfast faith. You, salvation of all people, know what we need. We are certain that you will provide so that, as you did at Cana of Galilee, joy and feasting might return after this moment of trial. Help us, Mother of the Divine Love, to conform ourselves to the Father's will and to do what Jesus tells us. He who took our sufferings upon himself and bore our sorrows to bring us through the cross to the joy of the resurrection. We seek refuge under your protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our pleas, we who are put to the test, and deliver us from every danger, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. Again, that prayer written by Pope Francis, if you want a copy of it, we've posted it in the show notes today at sunrisemorningshow.com. It is the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Glad you could be along on a Friday morning. Another weird week in the books. Another weird weekend on the way, but we're going to help you through the Friday part of it, at least the first part of the Friday part of it. I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell has news. Paul Ockman's at the board. And up this hour, Steve Ray is continuing our series on the Stations of the Cross. Today, we're on the fifth station. Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus carry his cross. We'll look ahead to the Sunday readings from Mass with Father Hezekias Carnazzo. And it's, of course, the Gospel, at least, involves the raising of Lazarus. Dr. Catherine Pokolik will join us from Catholic University of America to talk about basically some ideas of how businesses can operate ethically and business leaders especially can treat their employees with dignity in these challenging times. She's going to apply Catholic social teaching to the unemployment situation, to the workplace operations that are going on everywhere. And Deacon Stephen Gray Donis will be along at the end of the hour with some quarantine movie night ideas for you. So stay with us if you can. Right now it's 2 minutes past. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. A miraculous crucifix, which Pope Francis visited recently, has been moved to St. Peter's Square. The Catholic News Agency reports that this crucifix from the Church of San Marcello al Corso will be present when Pope Francis gives his extraordinary Ubi et Orbi blessing to the city of Rome and to the world today amid the coronavirus pandemic. The crucifix was hailed by Romans in the 1500s when it was the only religious object to survive a fire and was later credited with helping to end a plague a few years later. In Washington, House members are heading back to Capitol Hill in case a recorded vote is required to pass the coronavirus stimulus package. There are fears the bill won't pass by a simple voice vote and that Republican Thomas Massie will request a recorded vote, meaning most House members will need to be present to cast their votes. Some lawmakers are angry about having to travel during the pandemic so that they can vote on the $2 trillion package. A massive Navy hospital ship is heading to New York City. Mark Mayfield has more.
Going to be landing at Pier 90 in Manhattan to provide hospital surge capacity for the New York metropolitan area. So it's a surge capacity. They may use it for this or they may have other people coming in from hospitals.
President Trump told reporters at the White House the USNS Comfort will make its way from Virginia to the coronavirus hotspot on Saturday. Trump told Governor Andrew Cuomo the ship will arrive in New York Harbor on Monday. He noted it's loaded up to the top with medical supplies and will help take some of the pressure off the hospitals there. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
President Trump is discussing the spread of the coronavirus with his Chinese counterpart. He tweeted overnight that he had just spoken with the president of China and discussed the global pandemic. Trump tweeted that he and President Xi Jinping had talked in detail about the virus he says is ravaging large parts of our planet. Trump noted that, quote, China has been through much and has developed a strong understanding of the virus. He added, we are working closely together. Trump's talks with the Chinese leader come as the U.S. surpassed China as the country with the largest number of coronavirus cases in the world. In the Holy Land, the church revered as the site of Jesus's crucifixion and burial has been shut down a little more than a week ahead of Holy Week. From Vatican Radio, Sister Bernadette Reese has more.
Jerusalem's Church of the Holy Sepulchre was closed on Wednesday as a precaution against the coronavirus. On Thursday, the leaders of the three Abrahamic religions, Christians, Jews, and Muslims, prayed together in Jerusalem. The initiative, taken by the mayor of the Holy City, took place at 12:30 p.m. at Jerusalem City Hall. Representatives of other faiths were present as well, including Druze and Baha'i. Speaking to Vatican Radio before the common prayer, the Franciscan custodian of the Holy Land, Father Francesco Patton, highlighted the significance of this moment and explained that every religion was to recite a prayer according to its own tradition.
We meet together to pray to the Almighty God that this pandemic will stop. And so it is important in itself because we are all believers with the same root. And thanks to this same root, we can express with faith and with confidence our prayer to God the Almighty. For us, probably it will be an Easter not so solemn like in the last years, because it will be probably an Easter with few celebrations, without pilgrims, and of course with small local communities. But it is the same Easter. It is in the resurrection of Jesus that we can find hope, not in the number of those who are celebrating.
I'm Sister Bernadette Reese.
And Krispy Kreme is giving back to those battling the coronavirus pandemic in the best way they know how, one donut at a time. All healthcare workers can get an unlimited amount of glazed donuts from any drive-thru. The promotion starts Monday for National Doctors' Day and will continue every Monday after that through National Nurses Week on May 6th. I'm going to have to tell this to my husband, who will be thrilled.
Does it extend to the families of these workers?
That's, well, see, if there are extras.
I say we don't push it.
I mean, it's true, but, you know, Will comes back with snacks sometimes when there are extras.
Yeah, but
in
you
the
don't want
room.
Him stuck eating hospital jello all day.
Well, that is.
I mean, come on.
Absolutely true. I mean, it is neat to see, you know, as the wife of somebody who works in an emergency room, it is really neat to see all of these. I mean, Krispy Kreme is just one example, but there are all kinds of companies offering freebies to medical workers in these days, because these are the kinds of things
extra.
That can, like, can keep you going, can cheer you up, you know? And, yeah.
So my question is, do you have a favorite kind of Krispy Kreme?
Oh, I just like the plain old Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, the regular, and I want to put it in the microwave for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, you always, I remember you doing that here at work.
It's a genetic thing with the Krispy Kremes. Actually, it's not, I didn't take
don't
everything
some people
on.
Like smear butter on it?
My dad, like, will microwave his Krispy Kreme donut, and then, like, when it comes out, he'll, like, put butter all over it.
Oh my gosh. Ugh. I mean, I love your dad. Wonderful.
He's still alive.
Man, but...
He's still alive. Wow. After all these years of Krispy Kremes and doing that. It's 9 minutes past the hour. We've been going through the stations of the cross during this season of Lent with Steve Ray from CatholicConvert.com. Looking at each of the stations. Today we're on the fifth station. Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus carry the cross. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
Where is Cyrene, and what was the guy from Cyrene doing in Jerusalem?
Well, he's called Simon the Cyrene because he was from Cyrene, which is in Libya today, in North Africa. So he was a long way from home. He was probably on a business meeting. He had a business meeting. He had his new suit on, and he had his briefcase in his hand. He had just gotten off the ship, and he was heading to the business meeting through the streets of Jerusalem, jockeying his way through the crowds. And all of a sudden, he hears a bunch of noise and commotion, and he steps aside because here's coming a man who's all bloody and criminal, and he's seen it many times, Simon the Cyrene, because crucifixions took place all over the Roman Empire. Nothing new. He steps aside to let this criminal go by, all bloody and a mess, didn't want to get his new suit all stained for the business meeting, and all of a sudden a Roman soldier grabs him and says, "You! Get over here! You're going to help him carry the cross." "I don't want to carry the cross! I'm on the way to the business! I don't care what you're doing! Get over here and help this guy carry his cross!" Well, it must have been a big guy, because they're not going to pick a little wimpy guy to carry the cross, so one thing we know about Simon Cyrene, he must have been a big, strong guy, and they grab him and they force him to carry the cross. But all I have to say is, it was his lucky day.
For a number of reasons, it was, you know, Jesus calls us to take up our cross willingly. This is not something that Simon of Cyrene does before, but we call him Saint Simon of Cyrene, which tells us that at some point he did take up the cross willingly.
That's why I say it was his lucky day. He got too close to Christ. He got too close to the cross, and he got too close to the blood. And what we know is that in the book of Mark, which was written by Mark in Rome later on, it refers to Alexander and Rufus, sons of Simon the Cyrene. In other words, Simon the Cyrene had a conversion. He got so close to Jesus, it's obvious he became a Christian because of this event, because his two sons now are celebrities in the church who are known among others. In fact, Mark even mentions them all the way from Rome decades later, and we also know that in the book of Romans 16:13, it mentions them. So they had become celebrities, well known, because their father had encountered Jesus on the stations of the cross.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing. The idea that, you know, here's a guy who had no idea what he's being sucked into. And also, if he's from Libya, he has not probably been following Jesus for the past 3 years and knows what's happening or who this guy even is.
No, he's from the other side of the Mediterranean Sea. Far away, North Africa, actually. And but one of the things that's interesting is that he becomes a participation in our redemption as well, because he helped carry the cross. The book of Colossians says that we are suffering for Christ to fill up that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. In other words, all of us have to be in some way participating with Christ in his sufferings. We're all participating in the sufferings of Christ and the redemption, so to speak. It's being applied to us today, for the church today. Many of us will suffer. In the 20th century, there were more martyrs than in all the 19th centuries previous, as these people participated in the sufferings of Christ in their place and their time, being an example of what Jesus did for us and drawing people to him through their martyrdom and witness. And here's one of the first ones ever to take up his cross and follow Jesus, and it was kind of in a real sense, where we do it in a literal, in a more figurative spiritual sense. Here's a guy who actually does take up the cross and follow Jesus, just like I. And another thing that's interesting is that the Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not they tell us about Simon the Cyrene, but John does not tell us about him, because John is the one that wants you to think about Isaac carrying the wood of the cross up. Jesus is the new Isaac carrying that wood of the cross up to the top for his sacrifice. But he didn't obviously carry it all the way, because he needed help, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the Gospels that tell us about Simon, how he helped. So Jesus carried the cross, yes he did, but he had help from a man named Simon of Cyrene.
Well, Steve, this is a dangerous question to ask you with only a couple minutes left. I know how I would start to answer it, as, you know, someone who's produced a gajillion Journey Home episodes and watched a gajillion more over the years, but how many times have you met someone who has had an unexpected cross in their life, an unexpected suffering, and that was the thing that turned them to faith in Jesus?
When you're fat, happy, rich, and lucky, you don't need God. You go through life, you got all the money and love and power that you want. But all of a sudden, take all that away, all of a sudden have a cross and suffering. And all of a sudden, all of those other crutches are gone, and people cry out, "God, help me," and have a conversion. How many times have we heard about conversions in the foxhole during wars? "Oh, God, if you get me out of this, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll live for you the rest of my life." Oftentimes, God knows that when we are on our own with everything and rich, fat, happy, lovely, young, we don't need him. That's why suffering is often brought into our life. It's not that God wants us to suffer, but God loves us so much that he wants us to be pure and holy. And so he'll allow suffering into our life so that we draw closer to him. Just like when my son was young, he'd go running out to play. He didn't need dad. He was a young guy out for it, but he'd fall and hurt himself or fall into 4 feet of snow. I remember one time, "Dad, Dad," and I'd come running out to help him. It's the same way with God the Father.
You know, there's a great quote from C.S. Lewis when he says that God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our consciences, but he shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And it was a megaphone. I mean, they didn't have a megaphone at the time, but you can tell that Simon of Cyrene was being shouted at to take up that cross unwillingly. And as you say, he went on to pick it up willingly. We call him Saint Simon of Cyrene. It's a pretty incredible story. The fifth station of the cross, Saint Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus carry the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you because by your cross you have redeemed the world. Steve Ray, if we want to connect with you and get some of your resources, especially those connected to the Stations of the Cross, how do we do so?
CatholicConvert.com, and I'll have up a blog. You may have to scroll down a little bit, but there's two CDs I have, one on this talk that we're doing now, an hour talk on this, and also my hour talk on the pain of the crucifixion, which Tom Monahan said was one of the best talks he's ever heard, and I try to explain to you what Jesus suffered. Great two talks for Lent for the family.
All right, well, thank you, Steve Ray. Of course, all that's linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Go to sonrisemorningshow.com. Drop us a line while you're there. Let's check on weather for the nation. Showers and thunderstorms across the Mid-Atlantic, Ohio Valley, Mississippi Valley, and South Central Plains today. The heavier storms will be found in the nation's midsection, while drenching downpours deluge the upper Midwest. That's some nice little alliteration there. Who wrote this? Wintry showers will coat the Rockies and the mountainous Four Corners, while the Pacific Northwest and Northern California braces for a new system that will sideswipe the coastline, bringing decent rainfall this afternoon. Otherwise, not too many areas will see sunny skies, but Southern California, Nevada, the Gulf Coast, Southeast, and Florida are exempt from rain. Got headlines with Anna Mitchell next. It's 16 minutes past the hour.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org. SolidarityHealthShare.org.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from J.J. White Incorporated, the single-source multi-trade contractor for your next construction project. Since 1920, J.J. White has been constructing with knowledge, integrity, and safety. From industrial to commercial projects, J.J. White does it all. With offices in Philadelphia, Boston, Whiting, Indiana, St. Paul and Rochester, Minnesota, and Newcastle, Delaware. For excellent construction service and quality, count on J.J. White Incorporated. 215-722-1000 and online at jjwhiteinc.com.
I'm Matt Swain, grateful that Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework, and services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession, and when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Leave off the pepperoni on those pizzas. It's a Friday in Lent.
Indeed. And today, the anniversary of Mother's passing.
The fourth anniversary.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that in a moment. 18 past, here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
Both the Salus Populi Romani and Miraculous Crucifix, both credited with ending plagues in Rome in the past, will be present when the Pope gives his extraordinary Urbi et Orbi blessing today in St. Peter's Square. In Washington, the House votes on a massive economic stimulus bill today, and in the Holy Land, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the site of Jesus' crucifixion and burial, has been shut down a little more than a week ahead of Holy Week because of the coronavirus.
Full newscast coming up in about 11 minutes from now. And yes, it is the fourth anniversary of the passing of Mother Angelica. We continue to pray for the repose of her soul. And, you know, some of us also pray for her intercession.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was 4 years ago today. It was Easter Sunday, of all days.
I remember getting the call. We were planning on being off work the next day.
We normally take Easter Monday off, but we were not going to take this one off.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to look at the impact of Mother Angelica, and you can, you know, go to Wikipedia and find out all kinds of things, obviously. But personally for me, you know, I got to say she is incredibly influential. First of all, because she's not a traditional broadcaster, and in some senses, that's refreshing, and I think that's what drew so many people to her. And I've learned a lot from just watching and listening to her over the years and just seeing her just be real. And that's made a huge impact on the way that I approach all forms of media.
She was wonderful. She was just absolutely wonderful. And EWTN having some special programming today on television to commemorate the fourth anniversary of her entering into eternal life, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, a Holy Rosary at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, a half-hour special on her life and legacy, 4 p.m. Stations of the Cross for the anniversary of her passing, and at 9:30, again, you can listen to and watch the Holy Rosary for the anniversary. It's 21 past.
So you've decided to give up coffee or caffeine for Lent. Why not support the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming and the Sunrise Morning Show when you buy tea or decaf from Mystic Monk Coffee?
When you click the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com, you, of course, help support their work, but you also earn us a commission.
You can also purchase coffee for your Easter basket, as well as Sunrise Morning Show mugs and travel mugs in our online store.
Buy your coffee and tea, caf or decaf, and pick up a mug at sunrisemorningshow.com.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com.
Hello, I'm Father Timothy Shear, and these are Biblical Impressions. We often hear about famous last words. The Bible, of course, is no exception here. From the book of Joshua, the final chapter, Joshua says to the people, "Decide today whom you will serve, the gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you are dwelling. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." As Joshua prepared to spend his last days on earth, he was very concerned about what he saw within the people of Israel. It appeared to him that although God had done so much for them, they were not always expressing gratitude to God for the things that God had done. In fact, they were beginning, it seems, to step away from God. And so Joshua worries about their remaining in the Promised Land. Will they remain there, or will they lose everything through their idolatry? And so to give them every spiritual advantage, Joshua challenges them to join him. Decide today whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Shear.
Joining us again on the Sunrise Morning Show is Father Hezekias Carnazzo from the Institute of Catholic Culture. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Annie. It's a blessing to be with you as we're preparing for this, Sunday before Palm Sunday.
Yeah, the fifth Sunday of Lent. And for the readings this weekend, we'll be hearing the gospel story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. This is in John chapter 11, kind of a long gospel, verses 1 through 45, if you hear the full-length gospel passage. In fact, this idea of being raised to new life after death is actually a theme throughout all the readings this weekend, isn't it?
You know, Annie, it's a theme throughout all the readings this weekend, but it's because this is a theme of Lent. This is a theme in which all of us are looking toward the resurrection of Christ. So we remember we're on this journey together with the catechumens who are about to be received through holy baptism and given the newness of life, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6. And some have said, you know, the raising of Lazarus works for us almost like the bookends with Easter, Pascha, the resurrection of Christ, and Lazarus here. Jesus gives us kind of a foretaste of what's coming.
Now, in the story of the raising of Lazarus, as I said, it's a pretty long one. So just to start off here, are there any parts of this story to which you would definitely direct our attention?
Well, you know, so many people focus upon, they say, the shortest verse in the Bible, mm-hmm. you know, he wept. But of course, this is, you know, not a, this is not good exegesis, because the Hebrew text does not have any punctuation. So there's no, yes, in our English version we have periods and things like that, but no, the fathers of the church focus our attention, yes, upon this aspect of Jesus weeping, but not necessarily just as the shortest verse, but because he is the God-man, and because of that he sees more clearly what has taken place. He beholds his creation decaying in the tomb. It says he went to his friend, and in that Lazarus represents all of us who are waiting for the coming of Christ to restore us to the life that he had made for us, but which we have made such a mess of. So the fathers of the church say that when Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus, he not only goes to Bethany, but he enters into a cosmic battle with the evil one. And do you mind, Annie, if I share a quotation from St. Peter Chrysologus with the listeners today?
Oh, please do.
It's a little long, but it's beautiful. He says, when Christ began to strike the doors of the underworld, to break through the gates of Hades, to open the entrance to death, to dissolve the old law of Gehenna, to do away with the age-old right to punish, and to demand the return of Lazarus's soul, the power of Hades with all of its fury confronted him. He goes on to say, he goes on to say that Hades says to him, "What are you doing, challenging and attacking the entrance to death?" And like the other fathers of the church, St. Peter Chrysologus, focusing on Christ's divinity, says this: "The angels persist and repeat, 'This is the Lord of hosts. The one that Hades sees as a man is truly God. He is the King of glory. He is the ruler of heaven, the creator of the earth, the savior of the world, the redeemer of all. He is the one who rendered the death sentence that you in a fury, that has put you in a fury. He is about to tread on your head, crush your authority, and issue his own judgment of condemnation on you, who, although ordered to seize the guilty and drag away the innocent, abduct the saints, and now threaten the Son of God himself. So now, Hades, give back one before you are forced to release them all." So this is so beautiful, Annie, because you stand in now the cosmic battle for the salvation of the world.
Well, gosh, if he thinks that this is so powerful, raising one soul from the dead, I mean, imagine what the harrowing of hell must have been like.
Oh, absolutely. It's you know, Annie, we are standing now standing at the gateway to Holy Week, in which Christ is going to raise, as we heard that in the Old Testament reading from Ezekiel, he's going to raise the dead bones out of the tomb. And each and every one of us is going to be called out like he called out Lazarus from the tomb.
Father, can you speak to the faith of both Martha and Mary in this passage?
Well, you know, they come in this beautiful moment in this discourse between Jesus and these sisters who are weeping, and their faith is beautiful. The only thing I can say, Annie, is that we should stand with them and allow Jesus to do what he will do for our lives. It's so beautiful when they go to meet him. Then they walk with him to the tomb, and there's a tension, but that tension is a real tension in all of us. And we're encouraged to kind of roll away that stone of our heart to allow Jesus to enter in as these beautiful women do. And can you just imagine for a moment to be the sister of the dead man and to be weeping at the loss of your brother and for Jesus to come in, to walk into your home? There's so much to meditate upon here, Annie. And I quoted St. Peter Chrysologus, there's another beautiful quotation from Andrew of Crete I'd like to share with your listeners in part.
Sure.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
He says, "Lazarus, come out. It is the voice of the Lord, the proclamation of the King, an authoritative command. Lazarus, come out. Leave corruption behind and receive the flesh of incorruption. Lazarus, come out. Let them know that the time has come when those in the tombs will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and once they have heard, they will come alive. Come out." Annie, we have to allow this beautiful moment, this Sunday, to be for us, all of us who are going through this time of seclusion, this enforced Lent, if you will, to be an opportunity for Jesus to speak to each and every one of us, come out, to open up our hearts to the voice of the Son of God and allow Him to bestow true life upon us who are standing in so many ways in the grave.
We've been talking to Father Hezekias Carnazzo. And Father, if listeners want to check out resources over at the Institute of Catholic Culture, how can they find them?
InstituteofCatholicCulture.org. We have wonderful opportunities to grow in this time, the season of Lent, including a Byzantine liturgy this coming Sunday that I will be celebrating online for everyone. So please come check us out, InstituteofCatholicCulture.org.
And you can find the Institute of Catholic Culture linked at sonrisemorningshow.com. Just click on the show notes for today. Thank you so much, Father. Half past the hour now. It's time for news. Both the Salus Populi Romani and a miraculous crucifix, which are both credited with ending plagues in Rome, will be present when the Pope gives his extraordinary Urbi et Orbi blessing today in an otherwise empty St. Peter's Square. Pope Francis will give this blessing at 6 p.m. Rome time, which is 1 p.m. Eastern time. The special message and blessing to the city of Rome and to the world is usually reserved for Christmas and Easter, but the Holy Father has decided to deliver it today amid the coronavirus pandemic, which is especially ravaging Italy. The ceremony today will include scripture readings, prayers of supplication, and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament before the blessing, which carries with it a plenary indulgence under the normal conditions. The Holy Father has encouraged the faithful to participate through various means of communication. In Washington, the House votes on the massive economic stimulus bill today. Terry Moore reports.
The roughly $2 trillion economic recovery package is the largest in history, a response to the growing economic fallout from the coronavirus crisis. It passed the Senate unanimously, and Speaker Nancy Pelosi expects a similar outcome in the House.
It will pass.
She also defended the amount of money in the stimulus.
This is an emergency, and every dollar that we spend is an investment in the lives and the livelihood of the American people.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy accused Democrats of stalling the bill for days by pushing political priorities.
What Democrats did was a total disgrace.
I'm Terry Moore, NBC News Radio.
Wall Street is on pace for its best week in more than seven decades. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished up more than 1,300 points yesterday and has increased 20% since its close on Monday. The massive rise comes despite a Labor Department report showing more than 3 million first-time unemployment claims were filed last week. Boeing was a big winner, with its stock finishing up around 14%. President Trump says FEMA continues to move a massive amount of critical supplies to help with coronavirus. Trump told a White House briefing the agency has shipped more than 9 million respirator masks and 20 million face masks. It has also sent out about 6,000 ventilators and millions of face shields, gowns, and gloves. Trump noted a lot of companies are pitching in to help, especially with ventilators. In his homily at Mass yesterday, Pope Francis reflected on the dangers of idolatry. From Vatican Radio, Devin Watkins reports.
Reflecting on the reading from the book of Exodus, Pope Francis explained how God's chosen people turned to idolatry. He said they lost their patience while waiting for Moses to return from atop the mountain, calling their attitude a nostalgia for idolatry.
Una vera apostasia.
Theirs was a true apostasy, he said, not knowing how to wait for the living God. This nostalgia is an illness, which also affects us. The Pope said we begin our spiritual journey enthusiastically, but then we begin complaining of the difficulties we face. He also described idolatry as selective, which keeps us from seeing the good things we already have. Pope Francis went on to say that idolaters lose everything, as the Israelites did when they turned all their gold into a golden calf.
Ma questo meccanismo anche succede a noi.
This mechanism also happens in us, he said. When we do things that lead us to idolatry, we become attached to things that distance us from God, and we make another God with the gifts that the Lord has given us. He said these gifts include our intelligence, will, and love. We use those very gifts from God to make idols for ourselves. Pope Francis concluded his homily inviting us to ask ourselves where we hide our idols.
Chiediamo al Signore la grazia di conoscere I nostri idoli.
We ask God for the grace, he said, to recognize the idols that we have built for ourselves. I'm Devin Watkins.
The wife of the former president and COO of EWTN News says her husband could be out of ICU soon. Stephanie Burke reported via email that Dan Burke, who has been diagnosed with COVID-19, was breathing on his own yesterday and now has good oxygen levels and a reducing fever. She did ask for continued prayers for a complete healing for Dan, but said he has turned the corner. It's 35 minutes past the hour. The
If you're heading online to purchase any Lenten books or spiritual resources, especially ones you hear about on the Sunrise Morning Show, don't forget us when you shop at Amazon.
Before you start browsing, go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click our Amazon link to earn us a commission on anything you buy.
And if it's something you heard about on the Sunrise Morning Show, you can link directly to it through our daily show notes.
It won't technically count as almsgiving since you don't spend anything extra, but it will help support the show.
Just go to sunrisemorningshow.com, click Amazon.
What does the church say about purgatory? One of the things that separates the Catholic faith from most other religions of the world is the concept of purgatory. Catholics believe that heaven is restricted to those souls having no trace of sin remaining. But most of us die with the effects of sin still marking our souls. God then, in His great mercy, spares from eternal damnation those who are not in a state of serious sin at the time of death, allowing the stain of past sins to be removed that their souls might be made pure. In purgatory, souls suffer for a while in satisfaction for their sins before they can enter heaven. The principal suffering of these souls consists in the pain of experiencing an intense longing for God. We believe, too, that purification can be assisted by the prayers of the living. Thus it is that we offer prayers for the dead at Mass, on All Souls Day, and hopefully every day. We do all this because we believe it is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead. For more information, contact your local pastor or refer to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraphs 954 and 1030 through 32. For Sacred Heart Radio, this is Deacon Bill Mullaney.
It's 37 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining us again on the Sunrise Morning Show is Dr. Catherine Pakalik. She's a professor of economics at Catholic University of America and co-author of Can a Catholic Be a Socialist? From Catholic Answers Press. Good morning, Dr. Pakalik. Welcome back.
Hi, good morning.
Now, to lay the groundwork for our conversation today, can you first of all tell us about the pillars, so to speak, of what's known as moral capitalism?
Oh, sure. The pillars of moral capitalism, I think a lot of people put it as sort of a free and democratic society working together with, a functioning sort of business market economy and then sort of free and virtuous citizens, so business owners that are, you know, making decisions in the context of virtue and thinking about the dignity of their workers.
Now, when it comes to Catholic social teaching, what is an employer's responsibility toward his or her workers?
So an employer has to, you know, in some ways, I mean, really to sum it up, the way a father would, right, which is sort of the last thing I'm going to let out of this ship is my child, right? I mean, mm-hmm. So the way we need to think about workers is that everything goes before the workers go, right? Now, it's a little bit complicated, right? Some businesses have, enormous commitments, and they have some things that they certainly can't stop paying, such as rent for a lot of businesses, mortgages, mortgage business loans, and things like that. But what we are seeing is a lot of the kind of virtuous business leaders who are kind of coming out ahead and saying, when people have to take cuts, I'm going to take a cut first, right? So that's, I think that's the intuition we have that we would like to see that when there's pain coming, that we're all taking the pain together.
Absolutely. And we're certainly feeling the pain right now economically in the country and around the world. And I want to apply that teaching of moral capitalism to the situation in which we find ourselves amid the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, many non-essential businesses, as they're being termed, have been asked to either shut down or to have their workers do that work from home thing. And certainly demand for a lot of products is way down. So can companies, even ones with deep pockets, be expected to keep paying their workers who are asked to stay at home right now?
So yes, I think we can expect the ones that can manage it to do it. So you mentioned the ones with deep pockets. You know, and I'm going to go ahead and mention, I think, the most egregious case that I've seen recently, which is the where I studied for graduate work. Harvard University has laid off, you know, all of its dining service workers for, you know, reasons that are understandable.
Yeah.
And it decided not to continue paying its subcontracted workers. So the directly hired workers are being paid, but they're not the subcontracted workers. And this is outrageous. They have a larger, you know, a larger endowment than, you know, a couple of the major public companies that we think about, like Airbnb, for instance. They have plenty of money to pay these folks, and they should do it. So that's the most egregious case that I've seen. I think we can expect people, we should expect people and hold them to that standard. On the other hand, we have to have a lot of understanding for the fact that small businesses like restaurants and bars and a lot of your local small businesses that depend on you walking in the door, mm-hmm. they have less than 2 weeks of emergency cash. So sure. we have to make a really big distinction between those two. But absolutely, places like Harvard and, you know, Harvard, for all practical purposes, behaves like a large business. They can keep paying their furloughed employees, and they need to do that.
Would it be in the interest of the common good to keep workers on payroll in a time like this?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So there's a lot of creative things that businesses can do. There's often a middle ground between, you know, paying people at full salary and laying them off completely. So keeping workers on payroll but kind of moving them. Some people have suggested if you can't pay at a 5 day a week schedule move them to a 4 day a week before you get to the zero, right? Mm-hmm. So are there middle grounds that really hurting businesses can move to? Again, I would certainly maintain that if businesses can afford to, they shouldn't make any cuts at all in people's benefits and salaries right now. But in the dire cases where they have to, a lot of advice is saying, you know, try to help your workers see this as a sabbatical and not the end. That, you know, you're coming back and you're going to do everything you can. So I think people should not be separated from their places of work.
Those of us who are not, you know, business leaders, we're not running big companies, we're not even running small businesses. What can we do if we have the financial ability to help small businesses particularly be able to keep their employees on payroll through this?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think that's a great question. Something I've been calling gift card stimulus is sort of, you know, finding ways that you can continue to sort of purchase services from one of your, you know, favorite top 5 or 10 companies in your life, the businesses in your life that you just love to frequent. You know, can you get cash to them for future services that you hope to obtain? So through gift cards or other things. In my local area where I am, it's very rural, but there's been a mobilization of community awareness about which businesses are able to sort of still do drive-by service. You know, at least the restaurants. But I think that I've seen this very clearly, that a lot of Americans are really happy when they can, as you say. I haven't lost my income, for instance, and this is a great blessing. So is it possible that I can find ways that I can collaborate with the owners, right? Is there, like, so I have reached out on Facebook. I've seen this many times over, and I think we'll be seeing more and more of this. So to my favorite businesses, how can I help? Like, what is there a way that I could collaborate with you on it? I mean, not every calamity can be stopped, but I think the Americans are going to do a lot of this, and we're going to see really great stories of this kind of solidarity between owners and customers.
Yeah, I think solidarity is in our blood as human beings, and we need to let it be manifested in these times. Now, for the rest of the time that we have, which is only about a minute and a half here, Dr. Pakalic, Congress is working on this economic stimulus package. It's likely to head to the president's desk. Is the government getting involved in handing out cash to families and to businesses, in your opinion, a wise move? Will this be helpful?
I think it will be helpful, and I'd like to see this pass and go through. And I'd like to see it go through for two reasons. One is that I do think there are a lot of households that are facing, you know, dire circumstances. And so I think anything that you can do is helpful. I also think that just passing this sort of bill creates a lot of confidence and enthusiasm, like that the government is going to do what it can. On the other hand, we have to temper expectations, right? Some people have said, what good will the extra money do? I have nowhere to spend it. That's some truth in that. So, but I think we need to be doing this.
Go to business.catholic.edu to find out more about the Bush School of Business, which teaches virtuous capitalism, moral capitalism, at the Catholic University of America. We've been talking to Dr. Catherine Pakalik, who is a professor of economics at CUA. Dr. Pakalik, really appreciate your time and your thoughts this morning. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
And Matt, just to reiterate that point, she really kind of inspired me when it came to this idea of the gift card stimulus, as she put it, right? Where you need to, those of us who do still have our jobs right now, and I mean, gosh, what the unemployment rate came out yesterday, or the unemployment numbers.
3.5 million or
something. 3.5 million people filing for the first time for unemployment. And we can do a little bit to try to help those companies that are those small businesses that are trying to hold on to their workforce amid this. Because as she said, you know, some of these businesses, I mean, we're setting aside those big pockets, the big companies that absolutely can't afford to keep their workers on and absolutely should be keeping their workers on. These small businesses, as she said, might not have 2 weeks worth of emergency funds.
Local Mexican restaurant in my neighborhood where most of the people there make their living off of tips.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how are you supposed to do that now?
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's important, especially if you've got small businesses in your community, that there are ways that you can support, whether it's by carryout or whether if you know you can get a gift card from them online, as mm-hmm. she mentioned.
Because this is how we can practice solidarity. You know, I said it, I do believe that solidarity is in our blood as human beings, part of the natural law, I think.
And I would also put it out there.
We need to let it go.
Yeah, that there are a lot of apostolates who are struggling. Parishes aren't passing around the basket, mm-hmm. you know, to everybody every week like they normally do. Find ways to give online to the apostolates that you've been benefiting from. And I know a lot of you, it's tight. And so maybe this isn't something that you're able to do. But I also know that there are people in our listening audience who have been blessed mm-hmm. and who have a little bit more. And this is an opportunity for you to be generous with the gifts that God has given you and try and cover for a lot of people who just don't know what's going to happen if they go another month without being able to right. get an income. So,
well, let's just not forget that, you know, especially when it comes to our parishes, I mean, most of us give on a weekly basis. And so this would be no different for us. We need to remember to just not lose that routine of weekly giving to our parishes especially.
And again, you know, I just saw a release from the St. Vincent de Paul Society in Dayton, Ohio, and the things that they're doing practically speaking. I know my own parish is opening up, you know, for people to drop off supplies mm-hmm. for our local St. Vincent de Paul Society during a certain period of time. You can drive your car up, someone will help you unload it, and then the next car comes up, they do the same. Mm-hmm. You know, there are various ways that we can be creative here.
While still practicing social distancing.
While still being distant. Coming up next, we've got some recommendations for your quarantine movie night with Deacon Stephen Graydonis of DecentFilms.com. It's 13 Till.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 844-51-BIBLE. That's 844-51-BIBLE. 844-51-BIBLE.
Throughout the world, there is hunger, pain, suffering, and hope. The Lord has called us all to serve and love one another. The Comboni Missionaries, a congregation of Catholic priests, brothers, sisters, and lay missionaries, dedicate their lives to sharing God's love with the poor and most abandoned people of this earth. Learn more about the Comboni Missionaries at
CombonimMissionaries.org. That's C-O-M-B-O-N-I Missionaries.org.
If you're heading online to purchase any Lenten books or spiritual resources, especially ones you hear about on the Sunrise Morning Show, don't forget us when you shop at Amazon.
Before you start browsing, go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click our Amazon link to earn us a commission on anything you buy.
And if it's something you heard about on the Sunrise Morning Show, you can link directly to it through our daily show notes.
It won't technically count as almsgiving since you don't spend anything extra, but it will help support the show.
Just go to sunrisemorningshow.com, click Amazon.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Don't you feel sometime like there's so many people in the world, how does he hear your prayer? Never think of that, huh? Everybody thinks that. I'm only a little grain of sand on the seashore. Oh, but that's not true. See, God is God. And you and I have to let God be God. I don't know how he does it. He's God.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
The Sunrise Morning Show continues. I'm Matt Swaim, and I know some of you are stir-crazy, and you are sick of watching the same three movies over and over and over. Well, luckily, Deacon Stephen Gray Donis from DecentFilms.com, who also writes film reviews for the National Catholic Register, is here to help you break out of the rut with some fun family films and also some films that tie into the liturgical season to help you kind of up your quarantine game. Deacon Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
All right. So first of all, before we get into some of the concrete suggestions, what are some of the principles that you've applied to selecting some of these movies?
Well, I know that a lot of people are feeling disconnected from the liturgical season because for so many of us, the Mass has been taken away from us. And, you know, we're out of our routine. Many of us are stuck at home when that's not where we spend most of our time. And so I wanted to take a look at movies that we could watch without spending any extra money if we have a subscription to Amazon Prime or to Netflix or to Disney Plus that would give us an opportunity, if possible, to reconnect with the liturgical season without spending any extra money. Not like, you know, a $5 rental at Amazon Prime, but included with Amazon Prime. There are also a couple of movies on this list that you can watch absolutely free on YouTube.
All right. So taking a look at that, I know that some of these are going to be tying us into the liturgical season. Some of us are just going to be watching stuff for fun also, because you need that too. But let's start with a film that I have not seen, but I'm really interested in, The Face.
So I have three of the heavy hitter Jesus movies here, but we can talk about them. But The Face, which is a movie that a lot of people haven't seen, is a film that really draws on the treasures of Catholic art. And we need to remember that the visual arts and sacred art is a repository of Catholic teaching. It's part of our sacred tradition. That's why when you thumb through the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, there are these plates, these prints of classic works of sacred art throughout Christian history. And so The Face takes us on a documentary tour. It's 2 hours long, from the earliest images of Jesus in the catacombs to the works of the medievals, to Byzantine iconography, to the height of the Renaissance, and then into the modern era. And it's got narrators of various, Ricardo Montalban is there, Mel Gibson is there, takes us through different stages and themes, and it's really worth watching.
All right, you mentioned some of the heavy hitters. Of course, Jesus of Nazareth, one of the big ones. You also mentioned the 1964 Gospel According to St. Matthew, which is black and white. I know a lot of people have not seen that. Miracle Maker, I know you mentioned every time, every year around this time. Anna Mitchell just let me know she's not seen that. I think anybody with kids ought to see that one.
Absolutely, and it's been streaming for years on Amazon Prime. Unfortunately, it seems to have recently left Amazon, but The Miracle Maker is one of those movies that you can see for free in its entirety on YouTube.
All right, so here's what I'm super curious about that I don't know a thing about. A 2006 film called Longford, which is the story of the 7th Earl of Longford, who was, I guess, a convert.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of movies on here that tell the life story of or otherwise deal with official saints, people like Oscar Romero, St. Damien of Molokai, St. Therese of Lisieux. But I also have some films here for people that could be called heroes of the faith. I'm not sure that Longford quite qualifies as a hero, but he was certainly a person who tried hard to live his Catholic faith in a public way. He was known especially for his moral crusade against poor conditions in prisons, and there is something of a dead man walking-esque vibe in this film, Longford, 2006 film. Jim Broadbent plays the character, where he becomes involved in the life of a notorious murderess. She was called the Moore's murderess, Myra Hendley. And what I found so interesting about the film is that it really makes Longford's faith and his integrity a very admirable thing without necessarily elevating him or making him into too much of a screen hero the way that Sister Prejean was in Dead Man Walking.
All right, so you've got some good saint movies on this list, some Jesus movies on this list, and a bunch of others. Real quickly, you have some great family films that are just pure good escapist fun. If you had to pick one that you think a lot of families probably have not seen but should, which one would you pick?
That's easy. Go to Netflix and watch The Court Jester with Danny Kaye. And I'm sorry, no, it's Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime, The Court Jester. I've called it here, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, not only the best Robin Hood movie, but also the best Zorro movie at all time. And I don't say that lightly. This is a tremendous film. It's like The Princess Bride in both sending up a genre, but also really successfully exemplifying it.
All right. Now, I know a lot of our listeners have been furiously taking notes. They don't necessarily have to, because I know this list is going to be up somewhere. Where can our listeners find it?
Look for it first at the National Catholic Register, ncregister.com, and a little later at my website, Decent Films.
All right. Hopefully helping some of you who are stuck in a rut. You know how easy it can be if you're a family and you just watch the same three films over and over. Thank you so much, Deacon Stephen, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Matt.
Hopefully helping you out as you head into the weekend. Again, we'll be back on Monday here on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN. Hope you stay safe. Hope you stay healthy. If you're struggling with quarantine or illness, we are praying for you, and we will be here again on Monday. In the meantime, I'm Matt Swaim for Anna Mitchell, Paul Lockman, and all of our guests. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.